Hey guys, welcome back to the Design for More podcast. My name's Pastor Chad Harold, and I am thrilled you're joining us today. Now, as we continue this study on brain science in the Bible, we are looking particularly at the different ways that God has wired us and designed us so that we can best be used by Him to build His kingdom. It's all about figuring out and understanding that you and I were designed for far more than we think we are. So I hope you'll get excited. I hope you'll enjoy this message. I hope it's practical. I hope it's helpful. And I hope you'll continue to share what's happening here with those around you in hopes that it might too help them. So let's get ready for another exciting message. Here we go.
Okay, so a couple years ago, I got invited. I've been a pastor here at this church for 11 years and been volunteering a year and a half or so before that. A handful of years ago, we'll say 7 or 8, somewhere in that range, I got invited by someone locally to come and speak at a DNOW weekend. Are you familiar with DNOW? It stands for Discipleship Now. It's a youth thing. It's a student thing. It's not as popular now. We do different kind of things here at this church, but the concept is the same. The idea is every year you take a weekend, you carve it out, and you give the students a chance to really grow on a discipleship level. So it's kind of like beach retreat and discipleship meet together, right? Well, this church was putting together a really big Disciple Now weekend, and they invited me to come be the speaker, the keynote speaker. And so there'd be multiple messages throughout the weekend, and I was intrigued, a little nervous, because I don't talk to students very much. It's not necessarily my forte. I didn't really come in through the youth ministry. I went straight into adults, and so never had to deal with keeping teenagers' attention, and it was, of course, junior high and high school. So I was a little overwhelmed, but all was good. And so I show up to this weekend, and the guy that invited me is someone I remembered, had attended our ministry just a few times. I knew he was a youth pastor, and so anyways, invitation came. I show up, and immediately, I'm pretty overwhelmed. It's really cool. Lots of excitement, tons of kids, tons of volunteers, lots of energy in the room. The band was great. And I'm looking around going, wow, man, this is even better than I thought it was going to be. And I was kind of a little intimidated, to be honest with you. So I got going. I gave my first talk, and it didn't really go so well, mainly because I talked to them like adults instead of teenagers. And so even though the message itself was good, and I know because of volunteers, like, man, that was awesome. I didn't think we were getting anything out of this. That was really great. But I could tell the teenagers were doing that whole looking around like we talked about. They were a little not quite engaged. So I finished that talk, and I was feeling a little discouraged. And then I start looking around again, and I start thinking about, man, this guy, he's got it going on. I mean, he's got volunteers, he's got college kids all over. I'm leading college ministry at the time. He's got college volunteers, adult volunteers. Look at all these kids. This band's incredible. They got this lighting. And I'm start thinking like, wow, he's really got it going on. And I start comparing to him and to this ministry in this particular time, right? And so for the rest of the weekend, in the back of my mind, I was kind of just thinking about, this guy's really got, man, he's got it going on. We get to the end of the weekend. I'm about to deliver my last talk. I believe it was 4 total. About to deliver the last one, and we're kind of hanging out. I'm hanging outside with a few people, and the students are about to start arriving. And the guy that's running the deal comes in. He goes, "Hey, man, let's go for a walk. I just want to catch up with you before you go. We'll say thank you, blah blah blah." So we start walking, and he starts going. He's catching up with me, and he's saying good job, blah blah blah. And he goes, "I want to tell you a story." I was like, okay, cool. Tell me the story. So he tells me the story. And he says, you know, a couple years ago, he's talking about himself now. A couple years ago, I came to church. A friend of mine really drugged me over to church. And I came with him. And this pastor was giving this message. And he was talking about how, you know, as believers, we have to find our call, step into our call, and walk in that call. And it was just a really motivational kind of message. And it really got my attention. It kind of woke me up. It shook me a little bit. And he said, that was actually that night I started really reevaluating where I was in my life and what I'm supposed to do and da, da, da. And so he said, now I started volunteering, and then I came on staff. I became a student pastor, and all this has been going on since. And it's just been a crazy journey. So I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. Similar to my story. So I'm thinking that's the connection point. And he goes, man, it's just been an unbelievable ride, and it's so cool as you're here. And he's like, by the way, I just wanted to tell you, the pastor that gave that message was you. He said, it was about 4 years ago, sitting in your ministry, that God used you to wake me up. So I started volunteering. I came on staff, became a student pastor, and having you here was one of the coolest things that I could have done this weekend. Now, immediately, mindset shift, right? For the last 2 days, I'd been comparing everything he was doing to what I was doing and going, man, this guy's got it. He's got it going on, and I'm over here just kind of struggling to do college and ministry, keep it afloat. What's going on? And then in that moment, what I realized is I was comparing my ministry, my things to something that honestly I didn't need to compare to. I just needed to be excited because I was a part of that. I was looking at it as something that was disconnected from me when in fact I was very much a part of it, and God used me to be a part of getting that whole thing started. Now, why do I tell you that? Because comparison is one of the worst things you and I can do to ourselves, particularly as believers. It is one of the worst things that we can do to ourselves. And if you want to kill the beauty of anything, a relationship, a job, a ministry, a personality, whatever, you want to kill the beauty of anything, start to compare it to something else. And you'll kill it. You'll kill its significance and its beauty. Now, I tell you that because I wonder if tonight, maybe, there's someone in here that their toxic thought is comparison. That they're comparing a family. They're comparing to another job, another person at their job. They're comparing to a friend or a family member, someone that maybe is further down the road than they are. Or in the moment, at least, you're looking across and you're seeing, or like I was, I'm standing in it going, man, this is incredible. What about me? What's going on with me? Why don't I have these things when I didn't need those things? I was already a part of those things. I just needed a perspective shift. So I use that because it was something that just flashed in my head this week and I was thinking about it. And I do believe that comparison is a very common problem amongst all people, but particularly Christians. And I think the reason it happens is because we read a lot in the Bible about blessings. I didn't mean to start teaching, but I'm about to start teaching for a minute. We read a lot in the scriptures about blessings. And blessings are an unbelievable thing that God delivers as he so chooses. But what happens with blessings, and this is why a lot of times pastors like myself tend to kind of be careful and almost avoid talking about blessings, because what we don't want you to do is live a life where you think, if I'll just do the right thing, God's going to bless me. If I just give, God's going to give abundantly a tenfold. If I do this and God's going to do this. That's not blessing. Blessing is God doing what he wishes, when he wishes, and when it's a good thing, that's a blessing. We don't do anything to get blessings. Sure, we follow the scriptures as our guide and as our leader, and we do our best to be obedient to the things God's called us to do, but we're not obedient so that we can be blessed. We're obedient so that he can be blessed. And then in the meantime, if he decides to bless us, then welcome it. That's wonderful. Because here's the problem. If you start thinking, well, nothing's really happening right now. God's not giving me this or bringing me these blessings. And I look over here and y'all just have all the blessings in the world. And I don't. So something must be wrong with me. And that's where the crime is. Was there anything wrong with me that weekend other than thinking those thoughts? There was nothing wrong with me. In fact, that story was even more beautiful. I just didn't see what it was because it hadn't been revealed to me yet. But if I had walked or left that weekend and never gotten that answer, never had him tell me that story, I would have gone back to my ministry and I would have looked at it with terrible eyes. I would have said the lighting wasn't the same as these guys. The band's not as good as these guys. I don't have volunteers like that guy. I don't have my own facility like that guy. Instead of, I got to leave that weekend going, I am humbled that God would have used me to get that guy going so that that church and those students could experience what God's blessing is happening in that ministry. So this is why blessings are so difficult for us, and particularly as pastors, because we don't want you to think that God doesn't bless. God does bless. We see that all throughout the scripture. But we also want you to be so careful that you don't think, I just got to do all these things so God will continue to bless me. Because the truth is, you may walk through some of the darkest days of your life. You may not realize it, but it may be one of the best blessings you've ever experienced. But in the moment, it won't feel that way. Yeah. And if you don't understand blessing, you'll think something's wrong with you. And that's not how God works at all. So, that being said, not quite sure how we got there, but hopefully that was helpful. Toxic thoughts, that's what it was. So, if comparison is the toxic thought for you, I want to encourage you to try the detox on it. See if you can tackle it, right? We'll close this in tonight and give you some, hopefully, answers to help you do that. If comparison is something you've not thought about recently, it might be healthy to have maybe a side note write session. Remember step three, write it out. And see if there's some areas of your life that maybe you didn't even realize you were comparing to something else and it is making what you're experiencing not as beautiful as it could be. Because the truth is, you could take your spouse, your kids, your career, you can compare that to a lot of other things and immediately feel like what you have isn't great. But God didn't design us to compare. He designed us to receive and to walk in the way that he's called us to, keeping our eyes on him. So I hope that's not your thought. But if it is, the 21-day detox is a wonderful tool for you to start working against comparison. So here we go. Let me do a quick just recap. I know we've all heard it, but just what are we doing? We're studying Dr. Caroline Leaf's 21-day detox. We've been studying the book, Switch On Your Brain. We've landed into the section of the book that focuses on the detox. Remember, it's a 21-day deal, 7 to 10 minutes a day. There's 5 steps you work through. We've covered steps 1 through 3. We'll look at 4 and 5 today just briefly, and then we'll bring this to a close. But the point of it is, remember, we're taking a toxic thought, like, for instance, comparing yourself to someone else or comparing an element of your life to someone else's element of their life. We're taking that toxic thought, we're breaking it down through these steps while at the same time simultaneously building in a healthy replacement to that thought, right? So maybe example for me is I'm looking at that guy and I'm going, oh, he's got all these things that I do not. Instead, it should have been, wow, look at how God's blessing him. This is phenomenal. It is nothing against me. It is all for him, and I should celebrate that, right? So maybe my toxic thought, if I hadn't had the story told, is I'm going to continue to work on being proud of that guy, even though I may not have had any connection to him. And I'm going to spend 21 days making sure that that toxicity gets out of my head, especially in an area like that. For me, it was ministry. For you, it could be a career. That may be so subtle, but that subtle thing can turn into something really big, and it could be devastating for you. It could hijack the potential of your particular situation. And so that may be an example. A couple other examples. Maybe you're struggling with forgiveness. Maybe you're struggling with, oh my gosh, come on. What are some of the other ones we talked about? We talked about forgiveness. I don't feel like I'm enough. Maybe with your spouse, just, I love my spouse, but I just don't like them right now. The last 3 months, they've been driving me crazy and da-da-da-da. Maybe you need to work on that toxic thought, flip that sucker around, and start to look at the things that your spouse does bring to the table. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's work-related. Maybe someone else got a promotion and you didn't, so now you feel like, well, maybe I am unqualified. I thought I was qualified, but maybe I'm not. It's taking those kinds of thoughts, reeling them in, and then as Scripture says, capturing those thoughts, and then cleaning them out, moving them out, replacing them so that we can renew our minds and live lives that bring God glory. Now, remember one other thing, we do this what time? In the night, afternoon, or the morning? We do it in the morning. Why? Because overnight, our brain has been developing some new cells. We don't know exactly how many, but enough that it can be radically helpful in your thought process. And so to do this in the morning is really the best thing. It may not be right the moment you wake up, and that's okay, but earlier in the day, the better, so that your mind can be at full capacity, particularly with these specific cells that have been created overnight to help you and aid you in your thinking. Okay? So that's basically the process that we've been looking at. Now, let's recap these 3 steps. I will go quickly, but I just want to make sure we got a pretty good grasp on them. I'll try to approach them from a little different perspective. So step number 1 was to gather, okay? Gather. And the idea here is that we're bringing thought to our consciousness, okay? So remember, right now you're thinking about hopefully what I'm talking about, not dinner, okay? You're thinking about whatever's in front of you. But that doesn't mean that's the only thought that's in your mind. It's just the only one that's been brought forward, and that's what you're thinking on. So step one is about gathering. It's bringing that thought to the forefront. Now, that could be complicated because a lot of times we got a lot going on. I'm thinking about my kid. I'm thinking about my job. I'm thinking about this thing, this deadline I've got to do, and I need to do this. I need to do that. So we can have a lot of things rattling in our mind. So step one is all about letting those things kind of filter through, let them work their way out, and bringing that thought from the what we call the non-conscious, where you're not thinking about it, to the conscious part of your mind. You're bringing it literally to the forefront, the prefrontal part of your brain, so that it is in a proper place for it to be worked on. So this is the element of gathering. It's isolating and bringing that thought forward, okay? Now, this takes typically about 1 to 2 minutes. That's about how much time you should spend within that 7 to 10 minute window that you're going to do. Take about 1 to 2 minutes of this. And what's happening is so let's use example of worrying about money. I'm worried about money. I'm worried about money. I'm worried about whatever the next, I got a bill I got to pay. I don't know where the money's going to come from. I'm worried about money. Or you're thinking about long term, thinking about kids going to college, whatever it may be. I'm worried about money. I'm worried about money. So you're pausing in this moment as you clear your mind of everything else. You're bringing that thought to the forefront. Okay, here's my worry. Here's my concern. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. Don't think I'm going to be able to pay whatever it is that I've got to pay. And then we're in this moment as we're gathering, we're already beginning to think about what do I need to replace this with, right? What do I need to replace this with? Scripture tells us God's going to supply every need, not every want. Go back to the blessing talk. But every need, God's going to take care of it. So I'm already, as I'm gathering, beginning to bring my mind to a place where I want to not just spend a lot of time thinking about the negative thought. I want to bring that new thought in. I want to replace the negative, and I want that new thought to take root. This is why there's 5 steps, because our brains are very complex and very complicated. And so we can't just think of a thought for a few seconds and everything be fixed. It really does take time for us to work ourselves through. Now, a good question came up last week. Will we do step one all the time? The answer is yes, but it may look differently as you get further down the 21 days. It'll probably be a lot easier to bring that thought to the forefront because it's something you're thinking about every day. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, very good. And that same question came up last week. Definitely. So you only want to work on one thought at a time. Okay. Now I'm going to be honest with you. I can't give you much more than that. But from what the book and the research tell us, it was to only focus on one. The depth of science as to why, can't really answer. I'm kind of with you. There were moments even this week that there were some other things I probably needed to tackle, but I got to push that aside. Focus on the one. Again, that's where the gather kind of comes to life. It's putting to the side. Now, what I would recommend is if you come across some of those, to jot them down so that you don't 21 days later forget to ever go back and deal with that thought, especially if it's something significant. So that would be a tool to keep that pen and paper close by your side. But the book tells us very clearly just to focus on one thought at a time. And typically 21 days, by the way, it's how long it takes to form a new memory and to break down that old memory. That's why there's a specific 21 day kind of window here. Now, the recommendation is you can do the same thought multiple 21 day cycles, or for most people, one 21 day cycle will be enough to renew that thought, and then you can move on to something else. You may not be in a 21 day cycle for the rest of your life, but there may be seasons of your life where you need to spend a few months going through a few thoughts that are really, we'll say, plaguing you or that you're struggling with. Okay? So step one, we're gathering and we're beginning the process to be thinking new. Then we get to focused reflection. So here, another 1 to 2 minute kind of time frame to give you a gauge of how long. Now on focused reflection, think of it like this. Step one, we're bringing that thought to our conscience. And I don't know if we talked about this, but in the book it describes that thoughts are kind of like trees. They look very similar to a tree with a bunch of branches. And so you can think of this as I bring that thought to my forefront, now I'm loosening the branch. The end of the day, we want to destroy the branch because the branch, the thought, is the toxic thought we want to get rid of. So now we're loosening the thought by focused reflection. So in focused reflection, now we're beginning to bring those positive thoughts into the picture, into the equation. What is the positive thought that I want to replace this toxic thought with? So we go back to money. I'm worried about money. Well, I want to replace it with a scripture that's firm on foundation that says God will supply my needs. Now, I can have that thought, but it doesn't mean I've begun to believe that thought yet. It doesn't mean the toxic thought has been renewed yet. That's the process. But I know where I want to go. I have a target in mind. Or let's go to forgiveness. I'm struggling with him or her. I don't feel like I can ever forgive them, but I know that I need to. And deep down inside, I want to, because I know how freeing it will be if I can get over this. I know where I want to go. So now I'm zeroing in. And remember, we're being really careful not to spend a lot of time thinking about the toxic thought, because all that's going to do is help it to build, right? We starve what we want to kill. We feed what we want to grow. We want to starve the toxic thought. We don't want to give it much attention at all. We want to feed the new thought, the positive thought, so we can develop it and we can build it. So we're reflecting on the positive, not the negative. So we're focusing in. We've gathered, we've cleared out. Now we're zeroing in on the new positive thought. And then third, we move to writing. And that's what we talked about last week, where we're writing it out. We're using pictures, we're using scripture, quotes, words, groups of words. We're making diagrams like we did last week, where we kind of drew out almost just a web branch of our thought. Y'all remember what our thought was last week? God has a plan. We used God as a plan, and we just built that kind of ad lib together as a group, and we just built out that plan, and immediately we were able to see, because what's happened? We brought the thought to the forefront of our mind. We loosened the branch a little bit. Now we're shaking it, all right? As we're writing, we're really shaking that thought, because here's the deal. We don't have to work anymore to bring that thought to the forefront of our mind. It's already there. So now every moment we spent working on that thought last week, that wasn't even some of our thoughts, but we were already having progress in our own life, because we were looking at people in scripture, moments in time when God did this and God did that. So if you were even doubting if God had a plan for you, you got some hope yesterday, because as we wrote it out, we began to bring it to life. Now, once it's written out, then we move to the fourth step. And the fourth step is to revisit. Now remember, as we were writing, we were trying to be creative. Sometimes we'll draw pictures. Sometimes it's words. It could be a multitude of things. They talked about using color, shading things in, really putting detail. Why? Because your brain is really soaking in that thought. You are helping it to take root. And that is exactly what the revisit, step four, revisit, is all about. We are wiring the changes we want to see take place. So what does it look like? We're going to take that diagram or that group of words, that picture or scripture that we wrote down. We did the act of writing. Now we're going to put our pen down or our pencil down or our colored markers down, whatever it is you use, your crayons, whatever you use. And now we're going to study that diagram. We're going to study that picture. We're going to study that word, because we want to absorb it, and we are looking for potential flaws. We are looking for the parts, if we go back to our web diagram, we're looking for the parts of our diagram that are going to be problematic, and we want to deal with those. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what this looks like. So you remember a couple weeks ago I said really getting into this is almost like doing brain surgery. Okay, well, this is the surgery part. You've done the thinking, you've brought it to attention, you've focused it in, you've written it out, and now as you're looking at it, we'll use this as an example. As you're looking at it written out, now you're getting into the nooks and the crannies, and you are starting to do brain surgery. Why? Because we're trying to find the flaws so that we can begin the healing process. So once it's written down, it's much easier for us to see. It's much easier for us to process. If y'all were here last week, you remember seeing it on the board? You could scan everything, right? We talked about, I think we took a picture of it. We talked about Moses. We talked about old youth leaders and parents and people that have gone before us. Because it was written out, we could survey easily. And we could start to search and research and look at all of those things that were going on in our mind. Now they're on paper. As we revisit, we get to unpack. In addition, when we've been writing them out, remember, we've stimulated major neuroplastic activity that primes that thought for change. That's the surgery. We're priming that thought for change because we are now dissecting it. It's like taking notes in class, and then you go back home and you look at those notes. Did y'all do that in college, high school? I'd be honest, I didn't really do that much. But if I had, I'd have been a much better student. Why? Because that's where the progress really happens. It's already written out. Now you're absorbing it. This is exactly what we're trying to do. We are trying to absorb all of the positive things or dissect all of the negative things. So let's use an example, okay? You may have noticed why I had this weird looking board. It was not symbolic or anything like that. I actually had something on the back. So what I did, just for time's sake, because I didn't want to take the whole class doing what we did last week, I wrote down a new thought tree. Now, this is a fake one, but it's based off the story I told you at the beginning of class. Okay? So what did I say? I got in there, I told you about my friend here that was a youth pastor, and what was my toxic thought? I don't have what he has. I'm looking around at all the stuff they had going on. I don't have what he has. So here's how I wrote it out. This was part one. I said it was bigger. There were more students, more volunteers. There were more volunteers. I said there was excitement. I mean, it was just energy like I'd not seen in a long time. There was help. He had his own staff. I didn't have a staff. He had his own staff, multiple people that worked for him. He had support from his church. I had support from my church, but he had support from his church. So he had all this help. He had volunteers, college age, adults, other students. All these people were working. So I'm looking at this, man, he has all this help. I have a few volunteers, maybe, right? It was just better. The music was really good. The band was great. The facilities were really nice. And I noticed he wasn't sharing his space like I had to. Every week we had to put it up and take it down so the next ministry could come in. This guy had designed space. They had all this cool lighting and all these fancy things, right? So you see how it starts to unpack. So what I did is I jot down the things that came to my mind. Well, then I keep going, right? So we take the music. I start looking at the music. Well, what was it that they had? They had lighting and they had a band. Oh, this is great. What about the volunteers? They had more college leaders there than I had in my college ministry. What was that about? That's crazy, right? What's wrong with that? And then adults again, you start to see some of these begin to replicate. Lighting again, the music was really great. They had a band, they had lighting. Now I want to show you something. As I'm going through this toxic thought and unpacking it, this is the beauty of what happens. While I'm unpacking it, even though this has been a sealed deal, I can still take myself right back to how I felt. And I can show you some very interesting things. Here's number one. Look at this. One of the comments I was making was, there's so much excitement here. This is crazy. Remember the setting. What was the setting? It was a D now, we'll just say special event. Talk about comparison. This wasn't an every weekend thing. This was a once a year event. So there was excitement, but as I'm unpacking this, I can remind myself that excitement though, that was from a special event. I would hope it would have excitement. We keep going. They had more students. It was a special event. Okay. They had better lighting. Well, they don't normally have that. They rented those things. The music was really great. That's because it was a professional band that they brought in for that particular weekend. I start looking at, oh, they had more volunteers. Guess what? They just flat out had more volunteers. Can we just be honest? Sometimes life doesn't go your way. All right. They had more volunteers. They had more college leaders. But it was a once a weekend thing. A lot of those students came home just for the weekend to support their church and to minister to those students. We could go on and on. So as I'm looking at all of this, here's what's happening. I'm dissecting things. I'm looking for problems. I'm looking for areas that maybe, for mine, it was easy. There was a simple explanation that solved a lot of the problems that I was experiencing. But what I hope this does for you is begins to show you how when we unpack it through the writing process and then we go back and we revisit, we can start to see things differently. Now, this was with a negative thought. Last week, remember, we built this off of a positive thought, okay? Highly recommend that over this, all right? I even had to keep reminding myself as I was writing this out that there was an end story here, right? Because I'm writing this down going, man, that was tough. I was really struggling with that. That really bothered me because this is the negative thought. We don't want to spend much time on the negative thought. So this maybe happens on day one, maybe day two. But then by day three, we're writing out the positive and the positive only, like we did last week. Now, last week we said, what's our thought? God has a plan for me. And we built out the web looking at all of the ways we have either seen that or heard that, and we're going to move through a place to where we start to believe that. So the revisit is all about taking the things you've been processing, looking at, thinking over, writing down, and now you're dissecting them. Listen, when you're writing, it's very helpful, but the revisit stage is the most significant of the two because it's in the revisit stage that the fine-tuned surgery gets to take place. So you got to have a good written down process here first, so that when you get to the revisit, you can really do work. Now, one thing to note, you can revisit without writing, okay? Now, writing's a part of the process, so it would make total sense to only revisit your writing, but you could revisit a positive thought throughout the day. Well, wouldn't that be cool if that was one of the steps? Wow, glad you said that, because that's exactly what step number five is. Step number four is simple enough. We revisit. We revisit, we dissect, we do brain surgery, okay? What's happening? We're bringing that conscious thought forward and we're starting the transformation process. Step five is active reach. Step five is active reach. So I want to think of it like this. I'm going to give you the component first and then I'll give you a little science. Let's say that, it's a bad example because I don't have my ring on today. Okay, by the way, I have like a burn on my finger from my wedding ring. I told my wife, man, she brings so much fire to my life that she burns my hand. Anyways, so I took my ring off in case you judge me. But let's just say my thought was what I said earlier. What I said, I love my spouse, but I don't like them right now. I'm struggling. Like, they're making me mad. Well, maybe for me, my active reach might be that throughout the day, I'm going to remind myself why my spouse, my wife, my husband is so great. And every time I do that, maybe I'm just going to rub my wedding ring just a little bit. Just going to rub my wedding ring. I'm going to put a physical touch to the positive thought. So throughout the day, I'm going to take little moments. I don't have to go, hey guys, I'll be back in just a minute. I'm going to go have a meeting with myself. No. Just right there on the spot, you just tune out for just a second and say, man, my husband is amazing. He takes such good care of our kids. You're rubbing your ring, boom, you're done. There's one. Aiming to do this roughly seven times a day. And you go, whoa, that's a lot. There's a lot of things I'd love to do seven times a day that I can't do. How am I going to do this? Because we're going to build the habit. Because the deal is, what we say earlier, the more you feed it, the more it grows. Having just a thought examination in the morning is not going to be enough. We have to take that new thought and let it wash over us. So the wedding ring's a great one for something maybe related to your spouse. Maybe it's not though. Maybe it's that you feel inadequate. You feel like you're unqualified. Or you feel like you can't, whatever. Every time you stand in front of a mirror, every time you go to the restroom, every time you clear into a wherever place you can see a mirror, you don't even have to say it out loud, but maybe if you're in private, you would. You're just going to look in the mirror and you're going to say, I am enough. God tells me that I am enough. God tells me that I am enough. Every time you see a mirror, you see it in the car, you see it outside, see it in a restaurant, see it in the bathroom. Every time you see a mirror, that's your new habit. Every time, God tells me that I'm enough. Boom, done. Took 3 to 5 seconds. That took about 3 to 5 seconds every time. Come up with some other ones. Maybe it's a thought you have, but it's a series of words that you continue to say. Like, if maybe the word phrase is if only, right? Well, if only I had more time, if only my husband, if only my kids, maybe that's part of your struggles. I say that a lot. I say if only. There's a lot of things I'm lacking in life. Well, maybe you're going to flip that around. And so instead of having a new symbol or a new word, what you're going to do for your active reach could be, and this is an example from Dr. Caroline Leaf, is what she did for herself is she started counting every time she used the phrase, if only. For her, it was a really big struggle a couple years ago. So she used this example. So every day, whenever she caught herself saying, if only, she'd take a break, she'd pause, she'd count a number, and then she would reverse the phrase in her head right there on the spot. For her, I don't say if only a lot, so for me, that doesn't register very well, but for her, it was a big deal. She was saying it multiple times a day, catching herself thinking about what she didn't have. So that may be an example. Maybe it's a word phrase that you're trying to keep track of in your head. So every time you say it, you're going to count, and then you're going to pause, and you're going to flip that statement around right there in your head. Active reach is all about processing over and over and over again that new thought so that it would take root. If you want to, let's just say from your kids, you want to hear, I love you more often, and you tell your kid that. Good luck with that, by the way. But let's just say, you tell your kid, I want you to tell me you love me more often. And so they came in one day and they're all fired up because they remembered what you said. And they say, I love you, Daddy. And you're like, oh, that was so great. And they're done. They're probably not going to say it again. They did what you asked them to do, right? Is that enough? Does it feel like it's stuck? Does it feel like it's coming from the heart? No, but if you started noticing that your kids, Dad, love you so much. Thank you, Dad. Thanks for doing that, Dad. Love you. Oh, all of a sudden you start to believe it. Why? Because it's starting to stick. You're hearing it over and over and over and over again. Husbands do this a lot with their wives. Wives want them to be kinder or maybe say, I love you more. And so they'll do it once in a blue moon. It's like, ah, check the box. I did it. She told me she wants to hear this more. So I did it. But the truth is, the wife's going, well, I know you did it, but you only did it because I asked you to do it. I don't really believe it. Why? Because I haven't stuck yet. Same thing happens in our own lives, whatever it may be. And so the active reach is about taking something, this positive thought we've been working on, and trying to bring it to life by letting it and making it stick deep down in our brain. Now, let's look at a couple things with this. So number one, making things stick, repetition is the key. Okay, so again, I use the phrase, we feed what we want to grow, we starve what we want to die. We want the toxic thought to die, we want this positive thought to grow. Okay, now, while we're doing this, if you think about it, steps 1 through 4, it's all about, if you go back to the branch analogy, it's all about loosening the branches, right? So we're constantly working on this thought. We're moving stuff around. We're bringing new stuff to life. We're getting rid of the dark stuff. We're clearing out our minds. We're writing it all down. We've been loosening, loosening, loosening. Step 5 is the destruction process. It's the destroying of the branch. I am going to repeat it over and over, over and over, over and over until it sticks, it becomes real, and I believe it. And that is the final step, which is the destruction process. If you can get to that place where imagine for 21 days, let's give you some credit, 5 to 7 times a day, you ran that new thought through your mind, through your mind, through your mind. In 21 days, you will have destroyed that toxic thought, Lord willing, according to research. That's exciting because that's the process. That's where we want to get. We want it to be over. We want the toxic thought gone. Now, there's 2 things that I think are very important in this. Number one, you have to believe it. Okay? You have to believe it. Now, let's go back to the forgiveness because I think this is a big deal. Let's say that I know there's someone in my life that I need to forgive, but I don't want to forgive that person. That they did something horrible to me or I just don't like them, whatever it is. It's going to be really hard to just forgive them if you don't want to forgive them. The want is not the ability to forgive just yet. The want is that you know when you get to the end, that's where you need to be. And because you know where you need to be, you want to do the work. So forgiveness. I know that if I had unforgiveness against you, Dina, for whatever you did, what'd you do to me? You did something to me. I don't know, whatever it was. You what?
I don't know,
tripped me in the hallway. I got real problems if that's our issue, but okay. Toxic thought. I can't believe she would trip me while I'm walking down the hallway carrying my coffee. Now it got real, all right? Are you kidding me? So there's my toxic thought, okay? Now the truth is, I don't want to forgive her on day one. Internally, I don't want to forgive her. Otherwise, I wouldn't need a toxic thought 21-day detox. I'd just forgive her and we'd walk away. But the truth is, I know by the instructions of the Bible, I know from my lessons in life that I need to forgive her. But thinking about forgiveness and moving toward forgiveness are 2 different things.
Yeah.
Step 5 is not about thinking about the forgiveness. That's 1 through 4. Step 5 is taking the steps toward forgiveness. Step 5 is taking the steps toward not just thinking that God said I'm capable, but believing that God said you're capable and walking in it. It's not thinking about, well, one day my money problems will be solved. It's walking, not in all your money problems being solved, but it's walking and knowing that God will supply your needs. Let me ask you a question. Anyone ever been in a financial staff of any kind? Just raise your hand, any kind. A moment when you're like, I don't have enough and I don't know how I'm going to get there. Anybody been there? All right. In that moment, how easy was it to be like, God's got it. Done, no problem. I ain't even worried about it. Not even worried about it. I'll write a book right now. God's going to do it. No. Most of us, especially early on, it's over. I'm done. I'm toast. There is absolutely no possible way this situation could be rectified. Just no way. And then our hope for some of us, what happened? Somehow, over time, some way, there was a check in the mail or things just fell into place or time gave you grace, whatever it was. You can look back now and what do you see? God was able to take care of that situation. The point is, it's not always as easy to just make it be real for you. This is the point of the detox. It helps us get to a place where we can believe it and maybe even possibly, Lord willing, we can see it come to fruition. You remember the forgiveness story the other day? The guy that was constantly working on just forgiving this man. And what happened when he finally got to the place where he truly did forgive him? Not only did he free himself, he freed that other man of his sin by leading him to Jesus. So what's happening here is on such a deeper level. But the truth is, if we find the right toxic thought, it isn't going to happen overnight. And that's the point. And some of us, you may be going, man, like, this is kind of crazy. This is all a little too much. I mean, 21 days, your brain, your thoughts, all this. But if you find the right toxic thought, you'll spend 68 days working on it because it's that dangerous and it can be that deadly. And so that's my prayer for us, is not that we'd have a bunch of those, but the moment the enemy starts to bring one in front of us, we can say, I've got a tool that's been done through scientific research and backed up by the scriptures that I can use to make this happen. So believe in it. Believe in it. Trust in it. Cognitive dissociation is the phrase they use when you're trying to build something on a foundation that's faulty. Cognitive dissociation. The reality is, if you try to do this without believing what the end goal could be and believing that's where you need to get, this is a waste of time. I'm not saying you have to forgive the person on day three, but if you don't believe that forgiving that person is the result you need to get to, you're wasting your time. So before you ever address the 21-day detox, maybe we should have said this day one, my bad, all right, for some reason I had to go. But if you don't believe that getting to that end result is where you need to go, you're wasting your time. And the main reason is, goes back to, remember our list of the six things that keep us from finishing, because we don't believe in it or we don't value it, we won't finish it. If you want to finish the 21 days, find something that is that serious in your life that it needs to be dealt with. Now, doesn't mean you can't deal with little things. Of course, you totally can, and I would recommend that. But when you come across a big thing, you won't need a timer. You won't need a reminder. You will just do it because it's that important that you clear that thought out of your life. And I hope God will put that kind of conviction on and in you to follow through with that. One last note on this. They highly recommend a timer, and I would agree. Setting a timer. So for some of us, like, maybe the mirror would be great because you'd come across a lot of mirrors, but maybe where you work or maybe whatever you're in, a mirror isn't as accessible as we would think it would be. So maybe for you, it's a timer. And on that timer, you're going to either rub the wedding ring, visit the mirror, count that phrase, maybe recount the last couple of minutes. Did I use that phrase? I did use that phrase. Dag nabbit, write it down. Why did I use that, man? I don't want to do that. I want to think positively. So using a timer may be a great tool for you to kind of reel this in. Now, let me just do this to close. I want to just go through the five really quick. Just say them and I guess what I'll call layman's terms, just in a sentence or two. Number one, step number one, gather. We are allowing the thoughts in our head to settle and to move through and bringing the toxic thought to the forefront of our mind. As we focus reflection, we're bringing the thought to the forefront of our mind. And now our focus reflection is now we're starting to break down the thought that we have now gathered. Now in step two, we're starting to break it down, moving it from the non-conscious to the conscious. Step three, we write down what we are thinking. We write down what we are thinking. Is that not the simplest way to put it? You don't try to be creative. You are creative, but you don't try to make anything happen. Just write down what you're thinking and let the Lord do his thing. Remember, you're driving, but the Holy Spirit's leading. You are driving, but the Holy Spirit's leading. When you write, write in that way. Whether you write a diagram like that, or you just write words, or you color a picture, let it come out in that way. Then number four, start talking about this today. We revisit. We examine what we've written. And we're looking for holes. We're looking for things that either we can clarify or we need to spend more time researching on. And then finally, we put that new thought into practice through reminder and repetition, which is the touching of the wedding ring, the looking of the mirror, the counting of the phrase. whatever it may be, we constantly, constantly, constantly fill our mind with that positive thought. Now, remember why all this is important, okay? You spend a long enough time on a topic like this, it kind of just becomes, it all starts to blend together and mesh together. Remember, the reason we're doing this is because God has told us clearly in His scriptures that we need to capture our thoughts. He wouldn't give us a command if we weren't capable of doing it. He also says in Romans that we are to renew our minds, to transform our minds. He wouldn't give us a command if we weren't capable of doing it. He also wouldn't give us a command if He doesn't want us to follow it. So we should be doing this renewing of our mind on a constant basis. And this is, there's other ways, but this tool is a wonderful way to do it. The whole point is the name of the class. We're trying to get to a place where we discover that not only are we designed for more, but we're designed for something right now. Right now. The fact that you're breathing, the fact that you're sitting here, the fact that we are talking, even though you're not talking, you're just listening. But the fact that we are talking means God is working on you. God's brought you here over these last few weeks. He's brought you here tonight. He's been working on you. So what is it that He's working on? What is it that He's working on? You were designed for more. And I know for me, a lot of this stuff I'd never heard of, never even thought about before. I feel like I have more power by simply understanding a little bit more of how the creative God created me. That's very helpful for me. I hope it becomes a practice for you as well, to continue to learn about yourself. Whether you stick with us going forward or not, understand that God has designed you for more. What does the more mean? The more doesn't mean you're not fulfilling the call God's called you to fill. You may very well be. I feel like I am. But I'm finding there's so much more to me that God has instilled in me. And if I can find out more of that, I can grow closer to Him and step further into my calling. So this is what I mean when I say designed for more. It's not that you're not doing it, though maybe some of us need that little kick in the rear to say, no, I need to get in line with what God's called me to do. And hopefully as we look at the beauty of science and the beauty of our creative God, it inspires us to want to do that.